Morning. Today's Daf and Yuma, Daf Mem Zayin. We start today the fifth parak of the Masechta. We're continuing the Avodas Yom HaKippurim as we move on in through the Prakim. Parak Aleph through Zayin, 1 through 7, deals with the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. And really the fourth parak, most recent one. Let's go back to the third parak. Third parak really starts the Avoda. The first parak is just a seven-day introduction to Yom Kippur, the sequestering of the Kohen Gadol. Second parak was kind of like an overview of how the Avodah is done in the Beis HaMikdash, including the four payasos, the four lotteries that were done every day in the Beis HaMikdash. And then once we began the third parak really started us off on the Avodah Yom HaKippurim. We started the day with the Kohen Gadol wearing his Big Day Zahav, his regular Shmona Begadim, his Eight Begadim, so that he could perform the first Avodah of the morning, which is the Olas Tamid, the Karman Tamid, the Tamid Shal Shachar. And then after that, after doing the Tamid Shal Shachar and doing all the associated avodas together with the Tamid Shal Shachar, so then he goes into the mikvah, he tovels in the mikvah, he washes his hands twice actually, once for the removal of the clothing, and once for the putting on of new clothing, and then he is wearing his levanim, and now he starts the avoda of Yom HaKippurim. In this first occasion where he's wearing the white begadim, he's going to be wearing the white begadim twice over the course of Yom Kippur. So on the first occasion that he wears white begadim, most of the avodah is going to be performed. So what have we seen so far? So we've covered that now over the course of the last couple of prakim. So the first thing that he does while wearing his white begadim is he does vidui. He goes to the par. He has his par chatas that he brings on behalf of himself and behalf of his family and on behalf of all the kohanim. So he has his par that he set aside. He purchased it with his own money and he did vidui over the par. Then after vidu of the par, so then there's a selection. He's going to be selecting the goat. The two goats were chosen. The goats are going to be identical to one another. And there's going to be a selection in terms of which goat is going to be a chatzis, which one's going to be an ola. Okay, that was the fourth parak of the Masechta. The fourth parak of the Masechta talked about the selection of the goat. It's done through a lottery. We discussed it at length over the past week of the Masechta. And after the lottery, picking out two tickets from a box. One of the goats is going to be determined La Hashem, meaning that'll be the Chatos La Hashem, and the other one will be La Zazel, will be thrown off the cliff. That is the next step of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim as he's wearing his white clothing. What's the next step? So the next step is he goes back to his bull, and he does vidui a second time, two viduis over that bull. The first time he did vidui just for himself and for his wife. And the second time that he did vidui for all the kohanim. Gemara gave a svara a couple days ago in the daf. The reason why is because Yavo Zakai, because once he did vidui for himself, now he's atoned for. And then he'll be able to do it'll be a more efficacious vidui for the kohanim. Good. What happens after that point in time? So once again, we've done that already. We handle this towards the end of the fourth parak of the Masechta. So then he does shechita. He shechts the par. Shechts the par, and what's going to happen is that the blood of the par is going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay. But in other words, right now, shechita of the par, the blood is put into a bowl. Someone's going to be stirring the blood so that the blood doesn't congeal. And basically, you put that on hold. Okay. What's next? So what's next is what we're up to right now. We're starting the fifth parak of Yuma, and now we're up to the next part of the Avoda while he's wearing his Big Day Lavan, and now he's got to get the Kaf and the Machtem. Okay, the Torah describes how when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so lo yavo b'chol eis al haKodesh miben haParochas, he can't go in anytime he wants into the Kodesh over here, meaning Kodesh HaKadoshim, except with a cloud of smoke. So what he's got to do is he's got to create a cloud of smoke. So how does he create a cloud of smoke? So remember, we talked about this earlier in the Masech, the big machlokus between the Masorah and the Perushim versus the Tzedukim. So it's our tradition. Right, Halacha Moshe Mitzianai, Perish HaMakubal, however you want to say it, but it's our tradition that what we're supposed to do is we go in with the incense, with the pan of fire, the pan of coals, and we put the pan of coals down on the floor of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then we put the incense on the top of it, and we create the smoke not before we go in, but after he goes in. That's a Masorah. The Tzedukim say, no, that's not correct, and they just read the Psukim literally, and they believe no. In other words, when you go in, then you go in with a cloud of smoke, so they believe that you create the cloud of smoke before. Fine, that's the, we talked about this earlier, this was a major machlokus, but in the meantime, however, we are now, he's getting now going to create that cloud of smoke. So what does he need? So he needs two ingredients. He needs fire, and he needs ketores. So we're going to be discussing both of those components in order for him to create the cloud of smoke. The fire, remember, just again, just a little more review. The fire, where did he get the fire from? He got it from the Mizbech HaChitzon. We just learned a couple days ago that all fires were gotten from the Mizbech HaChitzon. The fire for the menorah comes from the Mizbech HaChitzon, plus the fire of the Mizbech HaZav comes from the Mizbech HaChitzon, and now the fire for the Kodesh HaKadoshim also comes from the Mizbech HaChitzon. Okay, so all fires come. So he's going to go up onto the top of the Mizbech, and he's going to get a pan full of fire. Fire, by the when I say fire, I mean coals, right? Hot coals, hot flaming coals, which in halachic terminology has a status of a fire. So that is where he gets the fire from. And what about the ketores? So the ketores that he's going to use for the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the same ketores that's used year round. There's going to be just one simple difference, and that is that for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the amount that he's going to use is going to be different than the rest of the year. What's the amount of ketores that he's going to use? The amount that's going to fit into his cupped hands. In other words, the Kohen Gadol is going to take his cupped hands and put it into the ketores in order to take out a cupped hand. Now, how much will that be? The answer is going to be very simple. Depends on the Kohen. However the size of the Kohen is, that's going to be the amount that's going to fill his hands. So we'll talk later this morning. Today we're going to talk about large Kohanim and how much they can fit in their hands. But basically, it's not an objective shear. It's not something which we can quantify. It's just basically whatever fits into the hands of the Kohen. That's the Torah's description of Melochafnav, a handful of Ketores. Okay, the challenge is going to be the following. What the Kohen Gadol is going to now have to do is he's going to have to go into the... I'll set up the problem. The solution will come up. We will do over the course of this morning. The problem is... Let's set up the problem. He's got to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He can only go in one time. Meaning there's only one bia. One entrance into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And here's what he needs to go in with. A cupped handful of ketores. Two hands filled with ketores. And he's got to go in with a shovel full of fire. A shovel full of coals. So, right, anyone who's unpacking their unpacking from having gone to the grocery, so you try to fill up as much as you can, but we're limited. We only have two hands, so what are we going to do? So here, can you visualize, can you think now, how is the Kohen Gadol going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with a cup full of ketores, meaning both hands filled with ketores, and he's going to go in with a pan full of fire? Okay, that's a neat trick, but the solution for the trick is going to come up over the course of today, so I don't have to spend too much time worrying about it. They thought about this already. Hotzi lo sakaf, so we start with the Mishnah. We're on the top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, the first Mishnah, the fifth Perek. Hotzi lo sakaf es amachta. So they bring to him the spoon and the shovel, meaning that this is equipment that the Kohen Gadol is going to need. One spoon, the spoon's going to be there for the ketores, meaning he's going to transfer the ketores into the spoon. And the machta is a shovel with the where he's gonna get the fire, presumably. Okay, well, I'll come back to that in just a moment. Chafan malo chafnav, but nasan leso chakaf. So he does chafina. Now the word chafina means like basically a handful. He takes a handful of malo chafnav, that which fills his hand, meaning he scoops his hands into the ketores in order to fill his hands with the ketores, and he places the ketores into the spoon. Okay. No. The Mishnah says, how much? Depends. If it's a large coin, obviously it'll be a lot. It'll be whatever fills his hands. If it's a smaller coin, it'll be whatever fills his hands. And then the Mishnah says, and that was its midah, and that was its measure. Not exactly clear what those words in the Mishnah are trying to communicate to us. Meaning, the Mishnah could have stopped with the words "Hagad lefi gad lo, v'kat lefi kat no." What is the Mishnah then saying? And that's the midah. What do you mean? And that's the midah. Of course, that's the midah. Meaning whatever it is. So later on, the Gemara is going to try to figure out what the Mishnah is trying to communicate with those words "v'kachay samidah sa." And then the Mishnah says "Nato samachta biyamino v'sakaf b'smalo." And what does he do now? He takes the machta. That's the shovel with the coals. And he puts it into his right hand. Now remember, we described that shovel earlier in the Masechta, in the fourth parak, where the shovel had a long handle. So the way way that he would hold it is he would basically be holding the shovel with his right hand, and the stem of that shovel would be going under his armpit. It would help him support it. And the ketores would be in his left hand. The spoonful of ketores would be in his left hand. And now, this is how he would be walking. So he'd be walking now with a shovel full of coals in his right hand, the spoon of gold carrying the guitars into his left hand, and now he's going to make entrance into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the answer to the problem is, again, the problem is, how does he get everything into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, meaning a handful of guitarists and the shovel? So the answer is a transfer. And that's the solution. The solution is that after doing the Malach Hafnav, he's then going to be transferring the guitarist into a spoon, and then he'll be, so now he can hold all that with just one hand, his left hand, and then the shovel full of coals in his right hand, and that's how he's going to go in. So that's the solution to the problem. Already you can predict, I saw the Gemara already coming up ahead, but one question that you can easily predict is as follows. He's got to bring two things into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. One is a pan full of fire, and one is the guitarist. Which is more important? Right. So if given the choice of which one's more important, I mean, they're both necessary, that we understand, but if we can grade them, meaning which one is more, not more critical, they're both necessary, but which one's more chashav, right? Which one's more avoda related? So the guitarist, obviously, meaning it's the burning of the incense, which is what's necessary. The coals, the fire, that's just a hechitimsa, that's just a way of burning it. But in other words, the guitarist is more significant. So given that, meaning as if you agree to that, which the Gemara will, so where I'm standing on good ground right now, so why would he be holding the pan of fire in his right hand? And why would he be holding the guitarist in his left hand? So stay tuned, because the Gemara is going to ask that question. It's an obvious question coming up. It seems like we should be crossing hands, you know, right? Like Yaakov and his grandchildren. It seems like it should go the other direction. Okay, so we'll come to that. The Gemara starts off with a very technical issue, and that is the word machta used in our Mishnah. The word machta used in our Mishnah, a little bit strange, because we already described the machta in the previous Mishnah. The Mishnah earlier already took out the machta. Meaning, if you look back at Mem Gimel Amud Beis, where the Mishnah over there described the Bechol Yom Hayachote, sorry, let me go back just a little bit. Fine. The Mishnah previously talked about the shechting of the par. Right? That was the avoda done right before this avoda. Then what does the Mishnah say back on Mem Gimel Amud Beis? He's got a shovel. And he already shoveled the coals from the fire on the top of the Mizbeach. So it's a simple problem. The previous Mishnah already has the shovel in his hand. Our Mishnah says, take out the shovel. What do you mean, take out the shovel? He's got it already. So what's going on in our Mishnah? So the Gemara notes, this is a problem. Machta tanale. Not also machta, v'ala l'roshim izbech v'chota v'yared. So the Mishnah previously told us about the machta. So it was already taken out. So why is our Mishnah describing taking it again? Gemara gives a very basic answer. Hasa machta de gecholim, v'hacha machta de ketaris. So over there, that's the machta used for the gecholim. That's the shovel for the coals. Here, it's the shovel for the ketaris. Meaning, go back to our Mishnah. Meaning, go to the top of the Amud. Let's read the Mishnah again. And now, not like I said originally in the Mishnah. A new pshat in the Mishnah. The correct pshat in the Mishnah. You take out the spoon and the shovel. This is not the shovel for the coals. The shovel for the coals was already taken out. What this shovel is for is the shovel for the Ketaris. What does that mean? Means that when the Ketaris is introduced to the Kohen Gadol, where is he taking it from? Where's the shovel coming from, and what's on the shovel? This is not a shovel with coals. This is a shovel with Ketaris. The Gemara explains. Let's go right to the Gemara. So, Ditanya, we learned in a Braisa. Ahotzi alo kafrei kan milishkas hakelem, o machte gedusha shel Ketaris milishkas beis avtinas. This shovel is not from the coals. That he already has. This shovel is coming from beis avtinas. Remember, beis avtinas, that's where the Ketaris was made and was processed. So, a shovel full of Ketaris is brought to the Kohen Gadol. Does he need all that Ketaris? No. But what the Kohen Gadol is going to do is he's going to be Maloch Hafnav. He's going to take his hands, he's going to cup them into the guitarist, remove his hands out, and he's doing that from the shovel that was brought from the base of Tinas. That's the shovel that's described in our Mishnah, not the shovel for the coals. And the Kafrei Kan and the spoon, well, that's an empty spoon, because then what he's going to do is he's going to take his cupped hands full of keteris and transfer it into the spoon, so that there he can walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim holding the keteris with only using one hand. Chafam alo chafna, back to the Gemara, the two dots, chafam alo chafna, v'nosan l'soch ha-kaf. Hagad lo fi gadlo, v'akan lo fi kanav, v'kach ha-hisa midasa. Good, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Kaf b'yom ha-kippurim lamali. So the Gemara now is going to go through the step-by-step problem answer that we just went through already in the Mishnah. Meaning, why is he transferring the keteris into a spoon? Why is he bringing the spoon into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? That's not what the Torah wants. The Torah says that you go in melo chafnav. You go in with a handful, two handfuls of keteris. So why are we transferring it to a spoon? That's the Gemara's question. So vehevi, I'm sorry, melo chafnav vehevi. So the Gemara's answer is, look, I understand that's what the Torah wants, but what does the Torah want? Meaning, how can you possibly do it? How can you bring two handfuls of keteris and the shovel of fire? So the Gemara goes through all the possibilities and is going to reject all the other possibilities. So what are we going to do? Maybe make two trips. Okay, go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim once, and then go with the coals or whatever, whichever one you want to argue goes in first. Go in once and go in a second time. So the Gemara says, no, because the Torah describes one entrance into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Although, to be honest, later that day, the Kohen Gadol is going to go in again, but that was just lasalik. That was just to remove. That's you know, okay. But anyway, you can only go in one time, only one entrance. So now the Gemara gives another suggestion. So maybe do the following. Put the keteris into your two cupped hands, v'nasata l'machta ala, and put the shovel on top of it. Now, I don't know how this is going to work, to be honest with you. It's a hot shovel, filled with hot coals, it's metal, it's a conductor. So I'm not really sure how the hot shovel is on top of your hands. Maybe it's sitting on the keteris, not on your hands. Okay, not 100% sure, but the point is, the Gemara is going to say that can't be. Vela ayo, because let's think this through. Good. So you're going to have now your cupped hands with keteris. You're going to have a shovel on top of your cupped hands. Somehow you're not getting burnt, and you walk now into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And now what? You're the only guy there. No one's going to help you unpack. And now what? Kimati hasam hechle aved. So you get there, and what are you going to do? Nishkele bishina v'nasat lamachta. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what you'll do. I don't have any more hands, but I have my mouth, I have my teeth. So I'll pick up the fire pan with my mouth, and I'll put it down on the ground, and using my mouth. And the Gemara says, that's ridiculous. Hashta lifnei melech ma basav adam ein osin kein. Lifnei melech ma chayam lachim akash baruch hu achas kama v'chama. So the Gemara says, ridiculous. Meaning, I wouldn't, in front of a king, I wouldn't behave that way. And if in front of a king, I wouldn't behave that way. In front of melech ma chayam lachim, for sure, it's absurd. So the Gemara says, hilkach lo afshar. So therefore, by process of elimination, we have no other way to do it. So now we have no other option. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it this way. We're going to transfer the keteris into the spoon. And then the Gemara throws in a bonus. It's like bonus round. Then the Gemara throws in a bonus. And oh, by the way, not only can we not find another way to do it, but at least this is not unprecedented. This has a precedent where you see keteris is being carried, being transported in a spoon. Where do we find that? We find it by the Nesim. We just finished Hanukkah, although it's now almost a month ago. So we just finished Hanukkah, and we heard again and again, Kafa Chas Malei Keteris, the spoonful of Keteris. So at least we have a precedent where Keteris is transported in a spoon. So therefore, now granted, that has nothing to do with Yom Kippur, but at least over there, we have an idea in which Keteris is transported in a spoon. I know the Torah tells me that I should go in Malo Chafnav, but it's just impossible to go in one time carrying the Malo Chafnav and the Machta Shel Gechalim. So therefore, we'll transport the Malo Chafnav into a spoon, and that's how we can carry everything in, going in just by one time. And anyway, it's precedented. We see the Nesim have done it that way. The snaking in is that we're going to discuss later in the Masechta. Okay, it's coming up, how he's going to snake in. So now we move on to the next part of the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to be bothered by the assignment of what goes in which hand. And it's a problem. Yitziva ba'ara v'giyura b'shmei Shemaya. So in terms of the residence, where the residence located, it's an expression in the Gemara. It's a great expression. Yitziva ba'ara. So the residence, so they're on the ground. And giyura from the word gerim. And where are the aliens? B'shmei Shemaya. Okay, and the aliens are placed up in the heavens. Meaning that it's like you are totally jumbling up, you're mixing up the classes. Meaning someone who's a resident is like a he's like a low class. And someone who's an alien, oh no, give him a promotion. I know he's not a resident over here, but it's okay, put him up. And the Gemara, and that's the mashal. And the nimshal is, obviously, I understand, between the Ketores and the coals. Like, what's more significant? The Ketores. And so the Ketores is going in the left hand, and the coals is going in the right hand? That doesn't make any sense. The right hand is obviously more prominent. The Avodas Yom, and for that matter, any Avoda is done with the right hand. I'd put the Ketores in the right hand. So what's going on? The Ketores is going in the left hand. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara's going to give basically two answers. Answer number one, Zumaruba Vizumoetis. Okay. So first of all, just size, amount, weight. Your right hand is your stronger hand. Again, the assumption is the Kohen is a right-handed individual. And by the way, they're right. They're very good. And by the way, that's not just an assumption. That's a fact. The Kohen Gadol was a right-handed individual. Left-handed, no offense, but left-handed people, you are walking around with a blemish. You cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash being left-handed. It's a psul, it's a mum. It's a blemish. So the Kohen Gadol was right-handed, so we're going to assume now his right hand is stronger than his left hand. So that which is heavier is going to put in his right hand. And that which is heavier is going to be the coals. The coals with the metal pan, the golden metal pan, is going to be heavier than a spoonful of incense, of ground-up incense. And the Gemara says, and if you're not thrilled with that answer, in of alone, it's a standalone answer. But the Gemara says, and even if you want to tell me that they're same weight, meaning let's say the Malo Chafnav of this particular cone was immense. It's huge. The Gemara says, like Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis was a Kohen Gadol, and he had humongous hands. The Gemara is going to describe how big in just a moment. And so when he was Malo Chafnav, when he was Chofen Malo Chafnav, when he took a handful of Ketores, so it was tremendous. And so the Gemara says, and let's even say that they're equal in weight. The handful of Ketores of Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, and the panful of coals. Let's say they're the same weight. I still would put the panful of coals on the right hand and the Ketores on the left hand. Why? Zucham of Zusonenes. Because panful of coals is hot. You want to give more support to the burning hot fire. Meaning it's more dangerous. It's more dangerous to handle the coals. So even if it's the same weight, I would still prefer to put the coals in the right hand, give it more security, more strength. The Ketores is just ground incense.
But the thing, but you argue that the Ketores is actually the Ikar, the coming to serve.
Right, that's the question. That's why the Gemara asked the question. Because the Ketores is the Ikar. So the Gemara is wondering why then is the Ketores in the left hand? So either because the assumption is, the default assumption is that the coals of fire is heavier. And even if it's not true, in the like the instance the Gemara is just pointing to right now, but still, hot versus cold, I'd rather have the hot in the right hand. Just, it's safer.
You can say, Lifnei Hashem, it's on the right side of the Kodesh Baruch
Hu. You could say that, but that's generally speaking how not Avoda has not done that. Avoda is done with the right hand. Okay, but I understand though, looking at it from the other way, right. Amar Lava Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. Now the Gemara mentioned him, so the Gemara is going to speak a little bit more about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, Ayachofen Arba'a Kabin b'mlo chafnav. So he was able to take four Kabin, which is more than the standard. By the way, Kimchis is his mother's name. We'll come back to that in just a moment. So the Gemara says, look, in his explanation, why is he so huge, Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis? So he explains a little bit cryptically. He says, well, Kol Hanashim Zardu Vizered. I'm sorry, Zardu Vizered Ima Alalagag. Well, you know, all other women, so they are Zardu. I'll leave that word right now undescribed, unidentified. But my mother's Zared, Alalagag, literally through the roof. Okay. And so now with that one liner, we're now to understand how it is that Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis was so immense, was so huge. To which the Gemara now, we need a little explanation. As it stands right now, we don't really understand what he's saying. So the Gemara is going to give two explanations of what he meant. Iga da'ami bar son. So one explanation is our son. Our son over here means a type of cereal, a type of porridge, meaning it was good feeding. Mom fed him well. Our son is excellent for a chola. Now, it would help us, in other words, those who are interested in producing larger children, so it would help us to know what exactly our son is, as opposed to what was typically fed. If you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi says, Hai zered ba'ar son kamar. The zered that he referred to was a reference to a type of cereal. The yafahu lechola, v'stam nashim u'ubaris cholos v'ochlos zered ba'ar son. So in other words, who's the sick person that we're describing? The pregnant mom. Pregnant mom has the status of a chola. Vis-a-vis Shabbos, she has the status of a chola. In general, she's just in a more compromised state of being. Rashi therefore says, so you give her food, that'll help a chola, and that is Zared, that'll be Zared, which is our son. Shein mine machal chitin. Now what is it? It's a kind of wheat. Kidarminim b'meseches. Now here it's moi cotton. Okay, correction. Chilka chita de mitabre be asisa la tre tre targis la tlasla zarid la arba arsan la chamesh. The Gemara over there identifies that wheat was pounded and crushed wheat was a popular cereal of the day. So you ground it into two pieces. In other words, you take a kernel, you ground it into two, or you ground it into three or four. Or you get to the point of arson. Arson is when you pound it and grind it so that every kernel is divided into five separate pieces. V'achikama, kol anashim huubaros tekno lehem zared v'arson lihivros osan v'ahubrim v'osan shel imi gavar al kulan. So in other words, my mother, he's describing, had an excessive amount of this arson, this wheat grain that was pounded into five pieces, and my mother ate it excessively, and so therefore, basically, good nutrition. Answer number one. In terms of, or I should say rather, explanation number one of why I'm so big, because of good nutrition. So if nutrition is not the explanation, what's the other explanation? Genetics. The Gemara says, that's the Gemara's answer. We're going to find the word genetics in the Gemara? Yeah, basically. You'll see. The Omer called, I'm sorry. Iga da'amri barsan kudarabi baryonasan damar, okay. The Ika Damri, okay, thank you, I lost my place, I'm back. So two lines before the lines get wide. The Ika Damri, B'shechot Zera. Or the Gemara says that what the Zered that he was referring to was the semen of his father. Uchid Rabbi Abba, Da Rabbi Abba, Ramiksiv, Tazreni Chayla Melchama. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Shmuel describing David's description of himself, Tazreni Chayla Melchama. And I was Tazreni. Right, the word Tazreni, now we would assume that the word is with an aleph. Because from the word ozer yisrael begvura, meaning I girded myself, right? I put on my military clothing. I went out for war. But it's, if you look carefully over here, you'll see that there's no aleph in the word v'tazreini. Uksiv ha azreini chayla melchama. The Gemara quotes in Tehillim where you see the word with the aleph, because that's usually how that word goes, with an aleph zayin resh as the sherish. Amar davlef ne'akaris baruch hu. So obviously, when the pasuk in Shmuel is describing v'tazreini without the aleph. So it's a double entendre. So the first entendre is the belt and the girding. What's the second entendre? So Rabbi Shmuel Rebbeinu Sha'olam, Zirisani V'Zirzasani. So it's the second entendre is regarding the winnowing of the semen. Meaning we know biologically that semen comes in the millions, right? Is that accurate? Yeah. Is that anatomically accurate? And meanwhile, only one of them is chosen. So it goes through like a winnowing process. Right, we know by Shabbos, the 39 malachas. So of the 39 malachas, Zora is winnowing, right? Not with an ayin, by the way. Just not to get confused. Meaning the seed itself is referred to as zera, zayin resh ayin. But we're not talking about the seed. We're talking about the winnowing process. That's zayin resh hay. So that's what we're referring to over here. That he pointed out that. His semen was a good one, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is David HaMelech describing himself, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped in the winnowing process of the semen in order to pick the best one, otherwise known as genetics. So Zarasani v'Zarasani. Amar Lav Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis Pamacha Siper Dvarim Im Aravi Echa Beshuk. So the Gemara now is telling another story regarding Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. I'm sorry, I just should have paused before I was reading on. So basically now, Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis was extraordinarily large. The Gemara describes that when he was Maloch Chafnav, when he took the handful, the cupful of the Ketaris, it was four Kabin, which was excessively more than the average Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara explains that either good nutrition or good genetics explains why he was so large. The Gemara now is going to relate a couple more incidents regarding Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. Amar Lav Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis Pamacha Sipa Dvarim Im Aravi Echad Beshuk. One time he was speaking to an Arab in the marketplace. V'nidzet sinora mipiv al begadav. And what happened was that as he was speaking to the Arab, some spit from the mouth of the Arab landed on the clothing of Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. V'nichnas yishavev echa v'shimish tachtav. And so therefore he couldn't serve in the Beis HaMikdash because he's tamei. We know that the spit of a zava nida yoledes is an avatama. We also know that the Chachamim were goes there, they made a decree that the spit of a non-Jew also is going to give off tuma. Albeit midrabanan, but so what? In other words, he was tamei.
How many Kohen was secluded for 7 days right. prior
well,
to
one of the reasons, right? What
Kippur alone goes out to
the right. One of the reasons why he's secluded is in order to prevent him from right. so from this
why,
happening.
What is this guy doing going on Yom Kippur? We're talking about
there. Okay,
it's
a good accusation. Yeah, you have a defense.
He was a king, and that's why he felt he had to go out.
Okay, who
was a king?
The Arab was a king.
Okay, good. Where is that? Okay, fine. So, v'rasa iman shnei kohanim gedolim biyom echad. Now, obviously, from the perspective of Yishmael ben Kimchis, that was sad. From the perspective of mom was happy.
True.
Right? Mom now proud mother, two Kohen Gadol's as sons. Now, we already discussed this earlier in the Masechta, meaning it's not really two. Meaning, I don't want to throw cold water on mom's parade. But it's not really two Kohen Gadol's, meaning only one of them could serve as Kohen Gadol. But in other words, but both of them have, we talked about this earlier, both of them have the status of the Kohen Gadol. So in that regard, so good, so mom was proud. Another incident where Yishmael ben Kimchis was speaking with an Adon, right? Some sort of dignitary. Now what happened to Yishavev? So I don't know. I'll allow you to conjecture and to speculate and tell me what happened to the other brother. But in other words, in comes another brother and serves in place of Yishmael ben Kimchis. And once again, what a proud mother that she has two sons who are Kohen Gadols. Ten Rabban Shiva Banim Hayula Kimchis had seven sons. V'kulan Shimshu Bekuna Gadola. Every one of them served as Kohen Gadol. Now, by the way, that's a blessing and a curse. Meaning, right? It's a perspective issue. How you, it's great. Seven sons is Kohen Gadol, but that obviously means either they died or they became tamei. Meaning, right? There's a reason why. You know, there should only be one Kohen Gadol. You know, who's serving and again and again and again. So anyway, so Amru la chachamim ma'asita shezachit al kach. Okay, but still, let's say that the cup is half full. Okay, let's take it from that perspective. Okay, when all said and done, her seven sons, each one of them served as Kohen Gadol. Okay, so how we got to that point, obviously, is sad, but the fact remains, it's pretty impressive. So the Gemara says, so what did she do to be Zoche? Meaning she had zechuyos, she had merits. What were her merits? So the Gemara says, Amra lahem, miyamai lo reu, koros besi, kale sa'ari. So he says, the walls of my house never saw my hair. I covered my hair under all circumstances, both inside and outside the house. And outside the house, that's a halacha, meaning that a woman has to do. But inside the house, meikar din, according to the strict letter of the law, a woman doesn't have to cover her hair inside the house. She's in the privacy of her own home. But she says, but as a extra level of tznius, so I covered my hair even inside the house as well. And for that, I was rewarded with the seven sons becoming Kohen Gadol. Amrullah, they said to her, Harbe asu kim v'lo ha'olelu. So the Gemara says, okay, but other women tried that as well, meaning it's a level of tznius. They're not going to take that away from you. But that can't be the secret formula, because I know other women who have done it, and it didn't work for them. Okay? And The Gemara doesn't have a retort, so obviously, I don't know about obviously, but she must have been hiding something up her sleeve. Meaning, she must have, in addition to this zechus, she must have had other zechuyos as well, which the Gemara just simply does not relate to us. Ibai lehu. No, I skipped. I'm skipped. Okay, I see. Okay, where the beginning of the line, about 8 lines from the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Tanur Rabbanan becomes social. Yes, and Midah Lekometz. You cannot make a standard measurement for the Kometz. Then let's not get confused. Meaning, there are two occasions where the Kohen is going to take a handful, fistful, stick his hands into something and take something out. Okay, one is by a mincha and one is by the Ketoris on Yom Kippur. And let's not confuse the two. Regarding a mincha, it's called a kometz. Kometz is a fistful. What's going to happen is that the Kohen is going to take his hand. How do I describe this? This is side down? A better way of describing it. Whatever. Those who can see, you're in better shape than those who can just hear. And right? And basically now with his hand go down into the flour. Right, we're talking about a mincha offering. Now, some mincha offerings were first fried or baked, and then kemitza was done. Now, that's tricky, and the Gemara is going to note that. But right now, let's just talk about flour. Let's just say that right now we're just describing flour. Kohen Gadol, doesn't have to be Kohen Gadol, could be a regular Kohen, takes his hand, puts it into the flour, and cups. Now, when you say he cups, he's only going to be cupping the middle of the center three fingers onto his palm, and, right now, don't move it to the side, it's all going to fall out, and then take his hand out of the mincha. That which is in his hand, that's the kometz, that's the kemitza. This is going to be burned on the mizbeach. The shirayim, the remainder, is going to be eaten by the kohanim. Unless it's a mincha of a kohen, if it's a mincha of a kohen, it's all going to get burnt. Mind you, if it's a mincha of a kohen, it's all going to get burnt, but he still goes through the process of kemitza. Okay, that's an aside. But anyway, that's the process of kemitza that's done for every mincha. What the Gemara is telling us right now is, that's not a standard measurement. And don't make it a standard measurement. That's just simply going to be dependent on the size of the kohen and the hand of the kohen. And the key word over here is bikumtso. Bikumtso is possessive. His kometz, meaning whichever kohen is doing the kemitza, that's going to be the size of the kemitza. It's all going to be relative to the kohen that's doing it. It has to be that way, and you cannot make a standard measurement for the kemitza. Shelo yaseh midal kometz, I bailu, mashi yaseh midal chafina. So the Gemara says, okay, that's our starting point. That's a fact. That for the kometz, it cannot be a standard measurement. It has to be relative. It's a subjective measurement relative to the kohen, who's doing the kemitza. Starting point. Now the Gemara is going to say, now that I know that, let's now talk about the chafina of Yom Kippur. So the chafin of Yom Kippur, as we already described in the beginning of our parak, is where the Kohen Gadol is going to take his hands, cup them into the guitars, and take them out. So, okay, so it's a larger amount, that we know, but can we convert that into a standard measurement? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara's response is, Ibai lehumashi yasem midal chafina, hasem udichsiv bekumtso avahachad loksiv bechafnav elam lo chafnav. So the Gemara notes that the language used by kemitza versus chafina are not exactly the same. By kemitza, the Torah says bikumtso, which is clearly illustrating that it has to be a subjective measurement based on the kohen. But the Torah doesn't say bichafnav. The Torah says melochafnav. Now, it's true that it does say it in the possessive, but it's not a perfect parallel. It says melochafnav, which may just simply mean a handful. And it could be that that the Torah would allow us to standardize the measurement.
But we said before that every coin has different
chafnav. No, the Gemara is not asking. The Gemara just wants to know, can we standardize it? Can we do it?
Well,
right. Maybe is a minimum. So melochafnav ketar samim daka lo. I'm sorry. Ela melochafnav ketar samim daka lo. Odilma yalef malo mekumso. So the Gemara says, or... Maybe no, maybe we'll learn it out through a gzer shava. Now, the Gemara doesn't know if there's a gzer shava, if there's not a gzer shava. It's kind of a funny question, meaning either there is or there isn't a gzer shava. Meaning the Gemara over here is speculating. Maybe there's a gzer shava. You know, we've said this many times. Gzer shava can only be learned only as a tradition. You can't simply create a gzer shava. All right, so that's a bit of a difficulty, and I'm acknowledging it, but the Gemara wants to know. We know by the kometz of a mincha, it can't be standardized. The Gemara wants to know, is it true also by Maloch Chafnav, the Keteris of Yom Kippur? The Gemara says, well, what about our Mishnah? And here we get to the line of the Mishnah, which, quite frankly, was a little bit puzzling. V'kach haisa midasa. This was its midah. What does the Mishnah mean by that? My love, Shem Ratzalasos midah cheresosa. Maybe what the Mishnah means is, you could make it a standardized measurement. The Gemara says, lo, hachi kamar. V'kach hayachoser v'chofna lifnim. So the Gemara says, no. That what it means is that you do chafina again when you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Meaning that when you get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, what the Kohen Gadol is going to do is he's going to cup his hands again and scoop again the Ketores from the spoon into his hands and then transfer it onto the fire. So Shema mina chofen v'choz v'chofen. So the Gemara says, okay, but what do you see? That you could do chafina twice. And we're going to learn 2 days from now on Daf Mem Tes, that's a major debate amongst the Amoraim. We're going to learn later on that's subject to a machlokus whether or not you could do the act of chafina twice. And the Gemara wants to avoid this because the Gemara does not want to get involved in a machlokus. So the Gemara says, "Dil Moshim Rasal Asos Mida Oseh." The Gemara says, "Fine. So you know what we'll say about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah means that maybe it can be an objective standard." Meaning, the Mishnah doesn't mean that we're going to do chafina again, but maybe the Mishnah means it's going to be an objective standard. So again, remember how we got to this? Hopefully you're not all confused yet. But in other words, the Gemara's question was, by the Maloch Chafnav, is an objective standard or not? So the Gemara says, no, maybe it's not an objective standard. What do we do with the line of the Mishnah? The kachai sami dasa? Or maybe it means he does chafina again. Well, the Gemara says, well, what about the machlok is coming up 2 days from now? The Gemara says, well, no, maybe it's an objective standard. Meaning, simply put, we don't know what the precise pshat of our Mishnah is. Our Mishnah could be interpreted one of two ways. So to use our Mishnah as a solid proof as to whether or not you could standardize the measurement of the Maloch Chafnav, inconclusive. Or the Gemara says, you know what you could say in our Mishnah? The pshat in our Mishnah is lo yechsev lo yosir. It has to be exactly a handful of Keteres. You can't heap it onto your hand, or you can't create a cavity, a concave cavity of Keteres in your hand. It has to be a level amount. First of all, the Gemara says, regarding the Kmitza, we're back to the Mincha. How much do you comment? So the Gemara says, a precise amount. When we say precise amount, obviously, depending on who the Kohen that's doing it, but even when the Kohen's doing it, the Gemara says, not mivorats, don't let any stick out from the sides of your cupped hands, and the Gemara says, not with your fingertips, meaning it has to be finger against the palm, and whatever that cavity can hold, but not fingertips, meaning bring your fingers onto the edge of your palm, because that's too small. So in other words, kidikamtsi inchi. So it has to be a precise measurement, of course, relative to the hand of the Kohen, but fingers onto the palm and leveled off on the sides. So the Gemara says, Tamam alamar malokum so kidikamtsi inchi. Ha ketzad. So the Gemara says, exactly how is it done? So here we go. The method of kamitza. Chofesh al shetzbos av apisas yado. Take your three middle fingers and put them against the palm of your hand. Vikometz. And you do kamitza. Uve machvas uve marcheshes mochek begodlo milamala uve etzba o ketana milamata. Now, as I mentioned earlier, but here the Gemara speaks it out. Sometimes you're doing the kamitza after the frying, and after the shallow frying and the deep frying. So that means, what are you doing kamitza with? With pancake. You're doing kamitza with pancake. Now you're breaking it up into pieces, but here's the problem. You're sticking your hand in, you're going to cup, you're going to take it out. Now, if we were just talking about flour, what happens to all the excess? It's flour, it'll fall off on its own. But regarding the machvas and the marcheshe, which is already now pre-made before the kamitza, so basically now they stick out and it's pieces sticking out. So what do you have to do? So with the strength of your thumb, you're going to basically have to cut it off with your thumb. And with the strength of your pinky, you're going to have to cut off this end with your pinky. And the Gemara knows that's not easy. That's hard. And the Gemara says, "Vizuhi avoda kasha shabemikdash." That's a difficult avoda. So Zuhi Vesula, the Gemara says, okay, I'm not going to argue with you. I know it's difficult. But this is the only difficult avoda. There are other avodas in the base of Mikdash that require tremendous dexterity. And they are Vesula Vahaika, Malika. First of all, Malika Sa'of, the nipping of the neck of the bird with the fingernail. That's difficult. Kohen Gadol, I keep going back to Kohen Gadol. Kohen does it with the nail of his thumb. And it has to be with enough force. He's holding the bird in his hand, and in that same hand that he's holding, the neck, the back of the neck is basically draping over his fingers. And with his thumb, he's pressing into the neck of the back of the neck of the bird in order to do Malika. That's hard. And the Gemara says, Va'ika Chafina. And Chafina is also hard. So, by the way, when we say Chafina is hard, what's hard about Chafina? Cupping your hands and taking Katoris into your hands? That's pretty easy. I think I could do that. In other words, what we're going to describe later on, that's also coming up a couple days from now. What's difficult is the transferring from the spoon back into your hand. That's going to be hard. We'll describe that a couple days from now. So Elazui may have other kasha shabbat mikdash. The Gemara says, fine, you're right. We're not rating right now. This is not like power rankings over here. Meaning this is one of the hardest avodas in the base of mikdash, and you can add to the list Malika, and you can add to the list Chafina. I'm Rav Yochanan by Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzai ben Habinaim Shomalokum Somahu. So this is Gemara in its classic state. Meaning I want to now know the following. Okay, we're back to Kamitsa. And we said the mitzvah of kmitza is for a kohen to take his hands and put it into the flour, cup his hands back, and so that which is inside now has the status of kmitza. Now everything else, meaning all the other flour, has the status of shirai. That's left over. Now let's make sure that we understand everyone's role over here. That which is in his hand, that's the kometz, that's the kmitza, that's burnt on the mizbeach. That's the matir. It's like the sprinkling of the blood. That which remains in the bowl, that's shirai. That's eaten by the kohanim. And the roles cannot be confused. Meaning I can't take shirayim and I can't burn it on the mizbeach. I can't take the kometz and I can't eat the kometz. Okay, each part now has a specific role. Question asks the Gemara. When we're human beings, we're going to have a little bit of space between our fingers. So what's going to end up happening is that when the kometz is done, so we know that the flour that's in the cupped hand, so that for sure has the status of kometz. We know everything that falls out of his hand, that has the status of shirayim. But what about the flour, the granules of flour that's caught between his fingers? What status does that have? Does that have the kometz status or does that have the shirayim status? To which the Gemara says, that's an excellent question and I'm not really sure. Amar Rav Yochanan by Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzai ben Abinam Shomalokum so mahu. Amar Rav Papa de Gavailo ti Bayalach. Dehave kometz. So that which is interior in your palm, so the Gemara says that has kometz status. Good. And Debrailo ti Bayalach devadi shirayim. And anything outside your palm, that's shirayim. Gemara says again, that we know. Shirayim hu. Kiti Bayalach de Beni Beni. We're talking about the granules of flour that's stuck between your fingers. My Amrav Yochanan Hadar Pashta Yoshua Ben Uzai Ben Ibinayim Safek Ninhu. So the Gemara says that flour is going to be in a state of Safek. What do I do with it? Hey Chiyavid Amrav Yochanan Makter Kometz L'Chudai Tchila V'Hadar Ben Ibinayim. So here's what you're going to do. You take that the flour that's in your hand, which has absolute Kometz status, and you burn that on the top of the Mizbech. Then you take the granules of flour that were stuck between your fingers, and then you burn that on the top of the Mizbech as well. The Gemara says, now, how do you get away with that? So the Gemara says, Diyamar Beina Binayim Bereisha Dama Shirayim Ninhu. Well, first of all, look, the granules of flour that were stuck between your fingers, so that has suffix status. I can't burn that on the Mizbech first, because it may be Shirayim. And that means I'm burning Shirayim on the Mizbech, and I can't do that. And it creates even a bigger problem than just burning Shirayim on the Mizbech. Because if it's Shirayim, that means that I lost some of the shirayim. I can only burn the kometz on the mizbeach only if all the shirayim are intact. However, one of the halachas of kemitza versus shirayim is that if some of the shirayim is depleted for whatever reason, got lost, it got burnt, it became tameh, if the shirayim were depleted, I cannot put the kometz on the mizbeach. So the granules of flour that are stuck between your fingers, if it has shirayim status, and if I burn it first on the mizbeach, so that means I can't even put the kometz on the mizbeach.
But what makes you think it is lost if you're putting in
Hold on a second. So dimu shirayim ninuva havalu shirayim shechasu bein kemitza laksara, and that means that some of the shirayim has been depleted. Va'amar mar, and one of the Basic halachas of kemitza versus shiraim is shiraim shechas or ben kemitza laktara. If any of the shiraim is depleted, in maktir nalem is the kometz, and I can't put the kometz on top of the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, so that's why, for sure, the granules that are stuck between your fingers can't go first on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, right, okay, so I'll do it second. But doing it second also is problematic. Because, okay, I'll put the kometz up onto the mizbeach first. I'll burn the kometz first. Fine. And then I have a small collection of granules of flour that were stuck between my finger. I can't put that on the mizbeach. Look, it's a state of suffix. I don't know. It may be kemitza, maybe shirayim. But one of the possibilities, a 50-50 shot, is that it's shirayim. And if it's shirayim, I can burn shirayim on the mizbeach. So what are you doing? So I'm a Rav Yehuda. I'll just quickly get through the... I'm Rav Yehuda Bered, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, demakdalei lishum etzim kirebi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, well, what you'll do is as follows. You'll take those granules that are stuck between your finger, you'll burn it on the mizbeach, but with a new intent. And the new intent is fuel for the fire. Meaning, it's only a violation to take shirayim and burn it on the mizbeach with the intent of burning them as shirayim. But with a different intent, i.e. fuel, well, that's okay. But that's controversial. The Gemara notes, the Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Amar L'Rech Nichoch Yatamala Val Tamala L'Shem Eitzim. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can do that with a new intent, an intent of burning it as fuel. So the Gemara says, okay, but that only satisfies the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Hanicha L'Rabbi Eliezer. Ela Rabbana Ma'ikala Meimar. But the Chachamim don't agree with Rabbi Eliezer. A change of intent is not going to help you. If it's Shirayim, I can't burn it on the Mizbech, period. So what's the solution? I'm Rav Mari, it comes to Shmeinei. So the Gemara quotes Rav Mari. I know this answer is going to entertain us a little bit. But the Gemara says it like very deadpan, like very seriously. So what you have to do is you'll get a Kohen to do the Kemitza who has fat fingers. And if he has fat fingers, so he'll simply have no space between the fingers. And so then never, this problem will not be realized.
But the thing is, the coin has got more or less fingers is a balmum. It can't be a coin. Can't even do the
well, no, the fat-fingered coin now is preferred. Meaning, given a lineup of Kohanim, right, who do I want? Do I want the thin Kohen, or do I want the slightly overweight Kohen with the slightly overweight fingers? So right now, at this juncture of the Gemara, I'm telling you who we're going to choose. Now, so the Gemara says, okay, now that we arrived over here, so the Gemara points out that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, look, there's a solution to the problem, but there's a better solution. Right, the solution to the problem with what we suggested a moment ago in terms of Rabbi Eliezer is throw up those suffix granules and have a new intent when you throw them up. L'shem Eitzim. But now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the whole problem could be obviated by just simply having a chubby fingered Kohen doing the Kemitza so that there will be no granules between his fingers.
What happened on the Kippah?
Yeah, and right, and now right at least by the regular Kohen, so you have a pool of which to choose from, right? The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur obviously makes for an issue. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow, we'll pick it up from the two.